I had run across an article about a month ago. It was titled "The Philosophical Contradictions of the Transgender Worldview." And I got interested in it because it made a number of good points. And there were points that were more than just on the topic of transgenderism. The transgender movement claims that people are what they claim to be, regardless of contrary evidence. And the lengths that the promoters of transgenderism will go to deny the obvious is sometimes mind-boggling. Now, children, according to them, are not born male or female. Actually, if you look at what they're claiming now, they say no, the claim is that sex is assigned to them at birth. That's the wording they wanted. They don't want to talk about what they were born as. They talk about what this sex that was assigned to them. Biological sex, here's a quote, isn't something they were actually born with. It's something that doctors and our parents assigned to us at birth. I find that fascinating because I started reading through that going, I don't have this down my sermon notes, but I was reading through and I got a note jotted. Well, what about all those children that were born in China back when they were having just one child and everybody wanted a son? You know, does that mean that no matter what came out, they just assign it to be a son? Is that what they're claiming? You know, it would work, I guess. In fact, it's another quote, biological sex is an anonymous, ambiguous word, sorry. Biological sex is an ambiguous word that has no scale and no meaning besides that it is related to some sexual characteristics. They're claiming that being male or female is an ambiguous term. One supposed expert, she's actually a doctor. Dr. Deanna Atkins claims it is counter to medical science to use chromosomes, internal reproductive organs, external genitalia, or secondary sex characteristics to override gendered identity for the purposes of classifying somebody as male or female. Don't you dare bring evidence. It doesn't matter what the DNA says. It doesn't matter what they look like. Don't you dare to, if they want to be something else, that's primary, according to this doctor. So, in other words, it doesn't matter what the physical evidence that exists. It's what a person believes. That's all that matters. And so, what you find is a denial of the obvious that's been going on. You know, I've had people write to me in the past about it, and I said, well, you know, hey, if you commit a crime and they find your DNA on the crime scene, they're going to label you male or female based on the DNA. You know, it is what you're born with. And also, I can't help but reflect that, you know, there's a mental illness out there that's called schizophrenia. That's where a person has difficulty distinguishing between reality and the imaginary. And it seems to me that that's afflicting a lot more people than are being diagnosed with it. Because there is an outright denial of what reality is. And by the way, when I'm talking about this, I'm really talking about the ones who promote transgenderism. It's not necessarily the people who are afflicted with it. Because many of those people want out. But it's the activists who see this as a way of promoting their agenda that's doing this. We have to understand as Christians that truth is fixed. Truth is unchanging. Truth is the opposite of lies. Take a look at Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. And in verse 5, a trustworthy witness will not lie, but a false witness utters lies. And we were talking about that not too long ago when we were going through Proverbs, that, you know, here's an obvious statement. was an obvious statement that's not being upheld in the real world today. We are dealing with people who lie and then demand that we deny the facts that show their lie is wrong. Another thing that we know about truth is in Proverbs 12. Proverbs chapter 12 and in verse 19, it says, truthful lips will be established forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment. Lies don't last. Truth does. And that's because lies are not built on anything stable. It's constantly shifting. In fact, that's one of the points that's made in the article that I was reading, is because he was pointing out, hey, if you argue these points, you come up with logical contradictions within the same arguments. They were taking both sides at the same time. And you can't do that in a reasonable, logical fashion. Another idea, though, we got to look at is that truth is consistent. Have you ever thought, why should sex be determined differently in humans than in mammals? Now, whether your cat is male or female, well, it depends on how your cat feels. You know, why do we use different scales? What we do know is in Genesis chapter 20, or chapter 1 and verse 27. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. When mankind was made, God made him of two choices, male or female. That's the choices. But in the, according to the American Psychological Association, they're stating that gender identity is a person's internal sense of being male, female, or something else. Now, I started thinking about this, and one of the points that was also brought up in this article is, well, exactly what does it mean? Because they say, well, this person feels like they're female, or this one feels like they're male. Well, what does it mean to feel like you're a male? What exactly does that mean? What does it mean to say you feel like you're female? Talk about ambiguous. That to me is ambiguous. You know, think about it. Can we apply this to other areas? I feel like I'm short. So therefore I can go under those low passes without having to stoop over, right? Because I feel that way. Or I feel like I'm 14. So I don't need a responsibility of a job. Or I feel like I'm a Native American, so that means I can join a tribe. Now we had to actually some people try that. But that doesn't make reality. Feelings don't change reality. And at some level, the transgender activist understands this, and so they insist that gender identity is innate or established at a very young age and therefore immutable. Now, if you want to understand this, the reason why they're doing this is they understand that truth is consistent. And they don't want anybody arguing against them. And so they claim that, okay, whenever somebody picks, it's changed and is permanent. But at the same time, here's one of the contradictions. At the same time, they'll claim that gender is purely a social construct. Now, I don't know about you, but you can't have it both ways. I don't know anything in society that's fixed. Society is constantly changing their minds about things. But they're trying to say, well, gender is a social construct and therefore is immutable. No, it doesn't work that way. And it also, there's a problem. There's one of those supposed genders. There's actually, I think there's a list of 68 now. Different types of supposedly genders now. All these different combinations. What one of them is labeled as gender fluid. In other words, the person just constantly changes their mind exactly which gender they are. Now, how is that immutable? You know, when you say it's fixed at birth, and yet it's fixed at birth that this person never makes up their mind. But the reason why I started thinking about this, the reason why I'm bringing this up, is not really so much as the transgenderism, because I don't think we have trouble here with this particular problem, other than maybe discussing it with people in the world around us. I had to go through, just a few months ago, I had to go through a diversity training for the college. And, you know, you have to fill out the forms and you know, and part of it is, you know, having to, you know, be respectful for people that are transgender. You know, things like that. And I agree, you need to be respectful to all people. But it doesn't mean I need to agree with the belief. But the reason also I want to bring it up is this attack isn't just about transgenderism. You can find this same concept in other ideas. You know, there are people who claim to be Christians. And the reality of their lives prove them to be anything but Christians. And I would make the same argument. The claim doesn't create a reality. In Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That claim, hey, Lord, Lord, and we've done so many good things in your name. That doesn't create a reality. That doesn't mean that they were actually following Christ. There has to be a consistency in our lives. James talks about that when he speaks about the tongue. In James chapter 3, starting with verse 8. James 3, verse 8. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Father, Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior and his deeds in gentleness of wisdom. There has to be a consistency in what we say and what we do. What we claim to follow and what we teach. Take a look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, starting with verse 16. Galatians 5, starting with verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousies, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and the things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. How we behave ought to reflect who we are and who we claim to be. There has to be consistency between what we say and what we stand for. Again, in Ephesians chapter 5. And there's many examples of this in the scriptures. But Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3. But immorality and any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk, or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance with the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. We're not even supposed to talk like the world, because that's inconsistent to what we stand for. What we really have that's illustrated by the transgender activists is a war against the truth. Because God is the God of truth. In Deuteronomy chapter 32... Deuteronomy chapter 32, and in verse 4, the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are just, a God of faithfulness, and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. And your New King James and King James Version says, in there, he says, where it says a God of faithfulness, a God of truth. He's not like men. God doesn't lie. Take a look at Numbers 23. Numbers 23 and verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do it? Has he spoken and will he not make it good? God doesn't lie. Men do, but God doesn't. God is always true. In fact, in Romans chapter 3, when people argue against God, Paul's point in Romans chapter 3, verse 4 is, may it never be, rather let God be found true and every man be found a liar. As it is written, that you may be justified in your words and prevailed when you are judged. God is always found to be true. And so what we're seeing is a deliberate undermining of what truth is. The argument basically is, well, feelings determine truth. If I feel this way, then that's true. Now, so sometimes we say this, but we got to start thinking about what we're saying. Now, somebody comes up with a sales deal, that doesn't feel like a good deal. Well, maybe it doesn't feel like good, but that doesn't tell you whether it is or not. Feelings don't determine. It may be a warning sign, but it doesn't tell you whether it's true or not. Take a look at Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, starting with verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water, that extends its roots by a stream, and will not fear when the heat comes, but his leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. When you trust God, you're stable, it's consistent, it lasts, because God is a God of truth. But notice, verse 9, the heart is more deceitful than all else, and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, and even to give each man according to his ways, according to the result of his deeds. People lie. They deceive themselves. It gets to the point, who can understand it? Who can really understand their own feelings? And God turns around and says, I understand it. I know what's going on. Our decisions can't be based on feelings. In Proverbs chapter 28, Proverbs 28 and verse 26, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered. Trusting your own heart is foolish, because I get swayed. Emotions might sway my thinking, and often does. I need to go back to what's factual. Go back to the Word of God. Because it's God's Word which is truth. As Jesus said in John chapter 17 and verse 17. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. But notice what's happening here. People are undermining what is truth. They're substituting facts and the Word of God with feelings. And saying the feelings override any possible facts that you might bring. That's going to destabilize all of society. But it's not just feelings. They basically say this is what a person believes is true. But you know what? Belief doesn't determine the truth either. A Christian believes that Jesus is the Son of God. A Muslim believes that Muhammad is the final prophet. A Mormon believes that the Book of Mormon is God's Word. But you know what? Jesus is or is not the Son of God, regardless of who believes it. Muhammad is or is not the final prophet, regardless of who believes it. The Book of Mormon is or is not God's Word. Determination of whether it is true or not is based on facts, not the individual's beliefs. Which, by the way, think about that next time you get one of the Mormon elders who come by and they tell you, well, just pray and to have belief that this is God's word. That doesn't make truth. There has to be evidence. In fact, God offers evidence of truth, and we have to decide whether that evidence is believable or not. But he starts with giving us evidence, facts. In Isaiah chapter 41, Isaiah 41, starting with verse 21. Present your case, the Lord says. Bring forward your strong arguments, the king of Jacob says. Let them bring forth and declare to us what's going to take place. As for the former events, declare what they were, that we may consider them and know their outcome, or announce to us what is coming. Declare the things that are going to come afterward, that we may know that you are gods, indeed do good or evil, that we may anxiously look about us and fear together. Behold, you are of no account, and your works are amounts to nothing. And he who chooses you is an abomination. God challenges, prove that you really are gods. And they can't. They can't get their history right. They can't get their future right. They can't get the present right consistently. As Christians, we're not afraid of evidence. We're not afraid of facts. We thrive on those. But see, God is a God of truth. And facts just support his claim. But what we have with transgenderism is a deliberate discarding of the evidence to be replaced with feelings and personal beliefs. Contrary evidence is ignored. Objections are shouted down. And somehow truth is whatever a person says it is. Take a look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 25. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Why can some people impose their idea of reality on other people? Where does that right come from? That because you want to deny the facts and you want to alter reality, therefore I must accept that. Where does that right come from? And why are so many people supporting it? I've scratched my head over that. And to me, it seems that too many people are so averse to conflict that they will readily accept lies than stand for the truth. If somebody is adamant and says the grass out there is red, and I don't care what you see, it is red. And they demand it. Some people will just give in and say, fine, if you want to believe it's red. That's not the way to handle truth. In 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, and in verse 21, says, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. You cannot lie to yourself, you cannot lie to other people, and say that you're somehow coming up with truth. You know what the transgender activist claims, that the person who's transgender is somehow trapped in the wrong gender. They got born with the wrong external features. But you know what? The real trap is that they're trapped in a lie. In Proverbs chapter 12, Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 13, an evil man is ensnared by the transgressions of his lips, but the righteous will escape from trouble. We as Christians have to stand for truth. We are commanded by James in James chapter 3. We read the earlier part of James 3, but James chapter 3, verse 14. James 3, starting with verse 14. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not from that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. We need to be people who live with the truth, people who tell the truth. And yes, sometimes people don't want to hear the truth. But we have to be people of God. And my God is a God of truth. I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here today who is not yet a child of God and would like to become one, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ in the form of baptism. And for those of you who are children of God and would like the prayers of your brethren on your behalf, why don't you come forward and stand and sing the song, The Selected.